Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In Matthew chapter 2, a part of the history of the coming of Christ and His birth and what took place, I just want to draw your attention to a thought this morning as we look at our final moments together this morning in this service. It says, when they had gone, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it said, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. We know that there was the Messiah, a rescuer, was supposed to come. They were the stories and the prophets of that there is a coming king. And of course, Herod didn't want to lose his throne, and so he was going to start searching for this newborn king and take away the opportunity of this child so he could preserve his throne. You know, it's not the first time we've seen a rescuer go to Egypt or come out of Egypt. If you were to look back in Exodus chapter 2, you will see that there's the birth of Moses. And we know that God's people, the Hebrews, were in Egypt. And the Egyptians, because the Hebrews became numerous, they began to oppress them and make them slaves. In Old Testament and in Christian thinking, because of that experience, we've always looked at Egypt as a place where it is where God's people were slaves, a place where we were oppressed, a place where there was not freedom. The Hebrew people who were living in Egypt and born in Egypt would live by another man's rules, idol worshippers, just a whole different thing that was, you know, anti-living God. And so you will see in Exodus 2, the birth of a rescuer, a baby was born. And a mother who said they're killing the baby boys and places him in this basket that they made and put him into the river thinking maybe there is some hope. And you know the story. It floats down river and one of Pharaoh's, well, daughters, a maiden of Egypt, finds this basket, sends out her attendant to get this child. And the child was crying, and she endears herself to this child. And now this Hebrew baby, Moses, doesn't know where he came from, but grows up in the house of Pharaoh, thinking that he is Egyptian, and comes to a realization one day that he is a Hebrew. Gotta ask it. How many of you have seen the Ten Commandments? Those of you who are visiting say, why are people laughing? Or if you're new around here, this is a question I ask periodically through the year. How many of you have never seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Just be honest, raise your hand. Okay? Okay, I'm coming over to you two in just a moment. Greg, you have a mission. You are going to make sure that at some point in the next 6 months that you've got to watch the Ten Commandments. Now, granted, you know, you've grown up in an era where special effects and everything else are just, well, amazing. So when you watch this movie, you're going to go, oh, brother. Just, you know, It's an old film. It's like back when he was 30. No, I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you, Greg. I'm kidding you. You know, it was made way back. But, not that the whole movie is biblical by, you know, but it gives you a little bit of a panoramic view. I mean, Hollywood has put their, you know, story and twist on it. But you will get a panoramic view. You have never watched the Ten Commandments. Stand up, both of you. See, when I pause, they start going, oh, we'll watch it. We're going to do it. We're going to, you know. Have you seen it?
I watched it the day you gave it to home. Yes.
Do you know Kristen? Yes. She has a copy of the movie. Make a really huge bowl or multiple bowls of popcorn because it is a long movie. No, don't overdo it. They're going to feel like, oh, brother.
I'll have her
write a summary. How many daughters do you have?
Five.
This is five-daughter Bill.
Five-girl Bill.
Lots of popcorn. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Yes, I did a little bit, but no. Thank you for your honest confession in this place. There are those, probably someone else in here who has never watched it, but they said, I'm not raising my hand. But I know who you are. No, I'm kidding you. The Ten Commandments, you know, an old classic. Oh, brother. It's greater than Star Wars. This is a conversation that happens in our house on occasion with a child of ours who I will not name, but he those of you who don't know, I only have one son, so you know. He was giving me the history of, now I was, you know, like many of us, you know, we remember when Star Wars first came out. We have history. It's not old, it's history. Okay. Now, I will tell you that, you know, I have not watched all the trilogies, the episodes, the Star Wars, the legend, the canon, whatever you guys call this. You know, what's true, what's not, whatever. Okay, so we have these conversations. We have a little bit of fun. He goes in and he tells me things that I've never heard. Characters that I've never noticed. Locations and planets that... And he tells me the first three were not really the first three. I mean, they were the first three made, but they're actually the four, five, and six. And then we go back and then, you know, and names and places and what people think and all. And then I come and say, okay, who were the sons of Joshua? No, so then we have to walk through the Old Testament to make sure that he knows more about the Bible than Star Wars. No, I kid you. So we have fun. This happens around the island in our kitchen, and so I learn things. So anyhow, watch the Ten Commandments. It will give you a little panoramic view of Moses and God's people, and how he leaves and then comes back and leads God's people out of slavery to a promised land. Now, Moses was born there. He was born into Egypt. Born into sin. Right? Slavery? We talk about sin. We've all been born into sin. You can turn to the person next to you and say, you're really nice, but you were born into sin. If you feel that you could not lie, you can say, you know, you're mediocre, but you were still born into sin. No. Okay, we were born into sin. Did your parents sin? Ever? Yes. Did your grandparents? Yeah. And, you know, it goes all the way back. You know, we were born into sin and we need to be delivered and brought out from being a slave in sin or a slave to Egypt. It's interesting. Christ is not born in Egypt, but he went to Egypt. And in this passage, if we were to look a little further down, I want to read this to you. Now we heard that an angel came to Joseph and said, go to Egypt. Verse 19 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard about Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. So having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. I'm not going to go into all the teaching about the Nazarene, but if you were to look, and I want to remind us of verse 15, it says, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, the prophecy would be fulfilled about the Lord. Out of Egypt I will call my son. They go to Egypt, and a time comes where the Lord fulfills the prophecy and says, I now call him out of Egypt. Now Moses was born in Egypt. Jesus, Bethlehem, but was told to go to Egypt. If you were to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is what I want us to, just a thought this morning. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to relate to verse 20 and 21. It says this, in 21, I'm going to read it first. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The whole exchange of Christ dying for us, though we are guilty and he is innocent, he was made sin for us. Moses was a type of the Messiah to come. But the difference was this, that Moses was born into sin and born in Egypt. And Jesus was born somewhere else and made to go to Egypt. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that God made him to be sin. Go to Egypt, and I will call you out. See, there's the difference. As Jesus wasn't born into sin, and he was holy, he was without sin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, conceived of the Father. See, our fathers are sinful, and we were born into sin. But Jesus' Father is God. And Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit, Scripture says. Jesus was made to go and be sin. Jesus was led and taken to Egypt, and then calls him out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he was made to be sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God. In other words, he has come to rescue and take us out of our sin, take us where we were born, take us out of Egypt, out of sin, out of slavery to sin. That's the difference. Moses was a type, but this is where the difference was. Moses was born into sin. Jesus was not. He was made to be sin. He was brought to Egypt or sin, and he was called out. And I want you to know that God has always been a deliverer and still is. And if we were to look at where we have sinned in our life, where our brokenness is, where we have felt a slave to hurt and pain and compromise and a slave to our own will that is faulty, I want you to know that there's a deliverer that brings you out of Egypt. You look at verse 20 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so we implore you or beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen, this is what Paul writes. He says, listen, the messengers of the gospel, those of the household of faith, those who've been brought out of Egypt, out of sin, to be made righteousness through Christ's sacrifice. He says, I beg you, I implore you, come to Christ, be reconciled. Let your guilt and your sin be washed away. Come out of Egypt, come out of sin, come out of slavery, come out of the entrapment. Come out of what has a hold on you. He implores them, he begs them. Let me put it in this way. If you are in this room and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, for whatever your reason is, whether it is you grew up in less than fortunate circumstances that has tainted your human thinking and reasoning, if you have seen others who profess to be Christians or followers of Christ and you have seen them live a compromised life that does not match their profession of who Jesus is, and yet they call themselves followers, you can use whatever reason you want. Whether you think it's justifiable or not, I tell you this. Dismiss it all and look at who Christ is. And would you turn your heart to Him? I implore you, I beg you, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without putting faith and giving your heart to Christ. Paul writes, I implore you, I beg you, reconcile with God. Make peace with God. Get to know God. Put your faith in Christ. Dismiss all of the things that have hindered your thinking about who He is because of what people have done. Dismiss it all and get to know Him. He is the one who was not born in Egypt, and yet he went to Egypt to make a way for you and I to come out from what we were born into and bring us to a promised land, an eternity with God in his presence. Paul writes it. Reconcile yourself. Make peace with God. Put faith in Him. Trust Him. Come to Him. Come to Him. Don't delay. Don't put it off. This could be the first Christmas that could be really a true Christmas. You can't celebrate Christmas without knowing Christ. I mean, you can honor the holiday and you can have family over and you can exchange gifts, but it's not Christmas until you know Him. It is not Christmas without Him. So I ask you, have you come to faith in Christ? He'll forgive you of the sin that you were born into. He'll forgive you of the sin that you have committed. He will forgive you. He will bring you out. He knows how to break habits. He knows how to break patterns because He transforms the person. And though we look the same, we're a new creation when we come into Him because we have been changed from the curse of sin and living in a life of sin or in our Egypt. Transformed to be made the righteousness of God because Christ, who was righteous, became sin in your place, in my place, to make a way out for me.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.